It's 97.3 City FM, and it's all about real talk tonight. You're welcome to another exciting edition of the number one technology radio show in Ghana. Yes, indeed, you're welcome to City Trends. My name is Philippa Sean, and City Trends is sponsored by Hoptel. So, like I always keep telling you, as a business owner, you need to be open to receive cash and money from anywhere through any mobile money wallet, anytime from any customer. You shouldn't be one of those people who gives your cleaner's mobile money number to the person who is trying to buy a good or give you a service. You should be able to operate a business in a modern world with modern solutions. And that's why Hoptel has a very simple offer for you. Now, to serve all your customers, you need one place where basically you can pay all the money to. You can monitor it and make sure that the very best service is given to your clients. Hoptel is offering businesses one wallet to accept payments from all mobile money wallets. One wallet to accept money from all mobile money wallets. You don't need multiple phones, multiple SIMs. No. One wallet, and everything comes into it. You can monitor it and you're good to go. So go ahead and check out hoptel.com/momo. You don't need a new SIM card to get paid anymore. Everything is going to be seamless. And guess what? This is just one way Hoptel helps you to solve all your business problems. Hoptel.com/MOMO is where you need to be today. Hoptel, rethink customer service. On the show today, we get very real about the conversation about technology entrepreneurs. Now, what do they tell you? And what should you really know about the ins and outs of the tech business in Ghana? When you speak to people who want to introduce you to one business or the other, what are they really not telling you? What are the issues of collaborations and partnerships within the tech ecosystem in Ghana? That is a conversation we're going to have today. Be a part of the show with your thoughts via the WhatsApp number 054-998-6996. You can also reach me on Twitter using the hashtag CityTrends. Get in touch with me directly, however, because my handle on Twitter is at Kofi Ashon. So if you're ready, City Trends is live and interactive. My guest today is a man who likes to talk his mind. He is a co-founder and a business development manager of iSpace Foundation. He brings more than 15 years of experience and expertise management on board. Trust me, he's the kind of person you should be talking to when you're thinking about building a business. He's a free thinker, and that is what I like about him. And he has always been searching for ways through which young people can be empowered to showcase their potential to the rest of the world, especially those of African and Ghanaian descent. Tonight, he joins me to share his thoughts about some of the realities of working as a technology entrepreneur in Ghana. According to him, a lot of things are not communicated to young people when they set off on their journey to become technology entrepreneurs. Josiah Ayson is my guest on the show this evening. Josiah, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Let's start off from where, you know, a lot of people would typically start off this conversation and get some ground rules in place. Right. When we say a technology entrepreneur, what exactly or who exactly are we talking about?
I mean, that's a great question. So you look at two separate things, right? An entrepreneur, an individual that identifies a problem and tries to bring solutions to it. And then the tech part is just basically using technology for that. Mm. So it's not this great mythical thing. It's just an individual that is using the technology to solve a problem. So you don't necessarily have to have the tech skills to venture into tech business. Mm. You just have to have the idea and then figure out a way how to use technology to solve that problem.
Do you think that because of the way sometimes tech is communicated to people, it sometimes gets people a little hesitant to get into this whole, you know, space? You know, do you think because of a certain kind of miscommunication, people are a little hesitant to call themselves technology entrepreneurs for that matter?
Right, because when you think that, you automatically just assume that a person can code, they can create websites, they can do all of those other stuff. So then I think that's the lot of misconception that's happening in our industry right now. So you might have somebody that they can write a line of code and automatically they think they're supposed to be a CEO of a business. And it doesn't work like that, right? So yeah, people really get it all, you know, messed up when they think about what a tech entrepreneur is.
Well, it seems to be on the up and up. Everybody wants to be a tech entrepreneur.
Right.
Everybody wants to, you know, go and pitch this idea and pitch that idea and win $100,000 and start up a company. You wish. Can you hazard a reason why there seems to be this boom all of a sudden?
Okay. See, so again, it's just like anything else. Those of us that were lucky enough to see the growth of the internet, so back in 2000, right? A lot of this whole internet boom happened. So a lot of investors are investing in things that is technology related. So when you look at Africa, now there's the whole language around, oh, Africa is the new frontier for technology because of problems. So now everybody wants to do it. And when you look at the whole people pitching at events, I can't really blame them because there's nobody really giving them money, no investors, quote unquote. So they become pitching mercenaries in that sense. That's another way to get funding for the project that you're working on or you should be working on. So yeah, I mean, the problems are there and people want to just exploit those challenges that we already have in Africa. So right now, we've seen Silicon Valley doing it. We've seen, I would say, the Shoreditch Valley, which is London. They doing it. See, so the next frontier will be Africa. But then the unfortunate thing is it's not Africans investing in Africa. It's just, you know,
someone else.
Someone
but
else.
But you see, that's that, and what you said kind of brings my mind to something. Pitching mercenaries. Pitching for the sake of pitching.
Right.
One angle, pitching for the sake of the money that's coming in, or the potential of the money coming, that's coming in, and then pitching to actually get money to solve a problem. These three areas, where do you typically find most tech entrepreneurs within?
Pitching for the sake of pitching to get money. They're not pitching to solve a problem because, again, most of the ideas that you see these guys come out with, right, they don't have social impact at all. So they will go stand there and pitch an idea that, you know, I've got this AI that can do A, B, C, and D, right? See, so if you're very good at pitching, then you win. Then what we find out is the products don't come out because you don't have the skill set to build those products anyway, or you never really had the mindset to even build that to begin with. So in the past, where we've seen people just attend hackathons for the sake of attending hackathons, even if they try to do, let's say, a social project, right, they would just get on the team, put a few, you know, mock-ups together, a nice pitch deck, and then they win. Then they just go their separate ways because these guys were never teams to begin with. They were just individuals that were put together for a hackathon. Then they win, they spread the money, and then that's it. And then we back in the same situation that we were. Exactly. Because when you look at, you did a great documentary on this whole flood thing, right? Now, I'm baffled that we don't have tech people that have created an app that you can spot flood areas and all of those are social issues, right? There's money for that, but nobody wants to touch that because, again, it takes time and effort to do that. See, so why waste your time and effort to do all of that when you can just go and pitch a crazy idea and win money and pretend to be the next, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and all of that kind of thing, and you're good to go, right? So that is the whole movement at the moment. Everybody want to be that guy, but nobody really wants to do the work.
But that's an indictment on a lot of businesses, a lot of seasoned, quote-unquote, tech entrepreneurs who are supposed to be at these, are supposed to be judges at these pitching contests and these hackathons and things like that. Shouldn't we have kind of known that these are some of the potential pitfalls of these events that we put together, such that we will actually take some time to think about, okay, these ideas that these people are coming through with, how are we going to help them to sort of develop and grow the idea? Are they going to be socially responsible? The money that we're giving to these people, how are we going to make sure they're accountable for the money they're given? Like, it just feels like an indictment on quite a number of people within the ecosystem.
Yeah. I mean, in the UK, I think it originated in the US when they say nobody got time for that, right? Because these young ones nowadays, they judge you according to the money that you have in your bank account. right? And so the older generation is also kind of subscribed to that notion that only a rich man can be heard. So if you're poor, keep your head down, and but then
hustle,
right? But the problem with this is that goes against what entrepreneurship is, right? Failure after failure after failure before you make success. So the experience is what you need to share with those young ones. So again, let me give you an example. So you take somebody like Alfred Rowe, right? Great guy, created platforms after platforms, and you know, moving from one project to the other. Now, Alfred Rowe has to eat, right? So he has immense skills. Like, this guy, one of the best in the industry, hands down, right? Now, because we don't have that much funding in our industry, he has to then start building websites for many, many, many companies. So then he finds himself competing with young guys that just came in the game, right? Mm. So who is he in the eyes of those young people, then to be saying, why are you advising me? Because when I went to the pitch, you were there pitching
as
for
well.
The same. Exactly. Right? See, so if we're not respecting our heroes or the leaders that started off this, this is what we get. Mm. We're going to get the young ones not listening to them. So even when the older ones know, they become almost like, you know, be cool. Don't say anything because it will be disrespectful. Right. But then this is what we get. When you let, I'll say, an unruly kid run around, be unruly because you just choose not to say anything, eventually when they become a teenager, what are they going to do to you?
Right.
And this is what we have.
The show is 97. The show is City Trends, actually, on 97.3 City FM. And we are having a very frank, open conversation about technology entrepreneurship in Ghana. The realities of it. You know, today is a no-holds-barred conversation. We are, Charlie, not pulling any punches. Like, we're just coming at you. So if you have any comments to share, if you have any reservations, if you have any issues with some of the things you're talking about today, just message us on our WhatsApp number 054-9986-996, or you can share your thoughts on Twitter using the hashtag City Trends. So just join in and let's have a very open conversation. So coming back to the heart of the issue, you say there are certain realities that we are overlooking.
Right.
Sometimes we are not paying close attention to. So, off your chest.
Uh-huh.
Free your mind. What are some of these things that we are failing to keep an eye on as a growing ecosystem? And as people who are looking at building more capacity as tech entrepreneurs in the country?
We're not looking at monitoring these kids and bringing them up the right way, right? And you look at government, you look at the banks, you look at us, the private sector. We all trying to kind of dig in pieces, right? So you have a situation where the government wants to get into entrepreneurship instead of focusing on policies, right? But you can't blame the government, so to speak. You can't blame, you know, your minister of business development or whatnot, because his job is to just trying to bring policy, right? Mm. You have to blame those tech entrepreneurs that have now turned into political entrepreneurs. Mm. So they see government is another way to make money, right? So they will go and then tell the business development minister, oh yeah, we could do this, we could do that, great. Give us the money, we got the capacity to do it. So then what is he supposed to know?
Mm.
Right? Then he will sign the deal. Yeah. He will come and announce and say, yeah, we've opened X amount of places for entrepreneurs
trusting.
To go. Trusting that it will be done.
Right.
Right? But then when it's not done, instead of looking at the person that they elected to do it, we then look at the guy, the minister. So it's easier. So the person that actually got the money then run away, he goes
he's
away.
Fine.
He's fine. And then we insult the minister instead. Right? And then you also have those guys in the tech industry that, because they have to eat, they then go off and then start building platforms for the banks and all of these other industries that will just come and take it. We don't get credit for it, so we don't have any reference points, right? Because again, it boils down to the lack of funding. So if we don't have funding in the system that supports just ideas alone, right? Ideas. I'm not talking about MVPs or prototypes or nothing, just ideas. To the fact somebody just have an idea of, I mean, look at what Haptel is doing, right? This whole one platform where you can just pay for things across the board. There's some kid in Bukom somewhere that probably has a wicked idea how to find Buffalo to everywhere, right? Give him the money. We need to have a system that gives them the money. In the UK, you've got a whole lot of organizations that you can apply for money just for ideas to test them, because that's how you learn, right? But we don't have that here. And then you look at the education system, or even those of us that even run hubs, right? We are looking for a certain kind of entrepreneur. So when you walk into our space, you should be suave, right? Mm. You're supposed to have the American slang and then the English accents and all of those other stuff. So if you don't have that, you're the local guy. Nobody talks to you, right? So even in the tech industry itself, we just kind of caking everything, slicing everything all over, where you have the local guy who has no connections, no passports, nothing, can't travel and go and do all of this, you know, events and pitching internationally. Then you have the expats, you know, people with that brothelized accents like me, you know, we have our passports, right? So it's easy because we have that connection. We can dip in and out of the environment, right? So we can raise funds easily. But then when we raise funds, instead of helping local capacity, we don't. We then start judging the local guys and say they're not ready. Oh, they you know, they're not serious. They're not this. Basically making excuses for not investing in the local ecosystem. That's what you're doing, right? See, so if we have hubs that just open thinking that entrepreneurs are just going to flood in and then you make money and go home, we don't, that's not what we're here for, right? Because we don't have those entrepreneurs that, or the tech entrepreneurs that have that skill set like you have in Silicon Valley and the Londons and, you know, Dubais and all of these other countries. They don't, right? See, so we have to then be realistic. It's almost like a student, a JSS student can run fast. Then you just ship him off for the Olympics and tell him to run against Usain Bolt. That don't make sense. Just because you're running 100 meters doesn't mean that you're ready to run against Usain Bolt, right? We need to have timelines. We need to have structure and then say, okay, from here to here, this is what you're going to do, right? So then again, sorry to bring his name, someone like Alfred Rowe, you bring him into the industry and say, yeah, you're going to mentor kids. But if you're going to mentor kids, we as an industry going to do A, B, C, and D for you, right? So that the money, the time that you will spend chasing money, you should be doing this, right? We need to have system because believe it or not, this is what these guys abroad, that's what they do, right? They mentor people. Here, we use mentorship. In reality, what we're looking for is a leverage coach, right? See, somebody says, oh, I need you to mentor me now. What they mean is I need you because I think you're the guy that can open the door for me, right? They're not looking for mentorship. Mentorship is a person that's actually lived the life that will tell you, don't do this, do that, and if you go here, this is what's going to happen, right? Not somebody that's going to tell you, put this proposal together and go and give it to the head of UBA and or whoever bank and will give you the money. No. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. But unfortunately, this is where we are.
That's the reality of our today.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very harsh reality when you think about it.
Very. Very. And you see, the problem also stems from, not to mention so many names, but I was on a panel and one of the other guys that runs the hub basically said, oh, he feels like people are moaning or wailing too much, right? So I flared up and I'm like, okay, so you see, it's almost like rich kids. When you come from a comfortable position, you will never understand why somebody is complaining. You don't have empathy, right? See, so how are you going to tell that tech entrepreneur that got his idea stolen because they entered certain competitions, right? Or they cannot finish coding because lights are going off, right? They can't afford data because it's too expensive, but they have great ideas to stop wailing? Are you really going to say that to them? You can look at it and say, you know, keep your head down and do the job. Who does that, right? Because you're comfortable, you got other people bidding for you, so you don't have to face that.
Harsh realities of actually being in there.
Right? And then a lot of our leaders in the tech industry are also so concerned with branding, right? See, so they don't want to be seen as, oh, I'm not confrontational. I'm not, controversy, right? This is like, I don't cause controversial.
I'm appeasing everybody. Exactly. I need to protect my vote.
Right? But these same people behind closed doors are chopping people down in meetings like there's no tomorrow, right? So people like me will speak. So then when the minister hears it and the minister says, oh, okay, I see where these guys are going. Let's do this for the tech industry. Guess who benefits? You do. But you didn't speak, right? So I stick my neck out there, right? I get shot for it, but you benefit from it. And we are breeding a bunch of people that don't have no spine. You know when, I'm sure in the growing up, they tell you, oh, choose your battles, right? But me, I tell my kids, it's only weak people that do that, right? Because if I choose my battle, that means I only fight the battle that I know I'm going to win. If something is right, say it. If it's wrong, say it. regardless of the consequences.
Right.
So we are in the industry right now that we see so many things going wrong. But we don't want to say anything because we don't want to be seen as, oh, that person is just too much of a problem. When they come around, they'll say things that you don't like. How do you think progress happens? Right? Progress only happens when people go against the system. Simple as.
Yes, it feels like an indictment. But Asin is so right. Most of these guys are not creating solutions to our problems. They are just pitching everywhere for the money. No social entrepreneurship. Hashtag City Trends. And your comments are indeed welcome on our WhatsApp number as well. 054-9986-996. One of the biggest issues with the tech space in Ghana is partnerships.
Right.
Whereby people are afraid that once I jump into a partnership, someone is going to steal my idea, or this person is going to get this cut, or some. My favorite one is when people feel that I know this person, and so it is only through me that you can get access to this. Mm-hmm. What is your viewpoint about partnerships within the ecosystem in Ghana?
Okay, and again, you ask such great questions, right? Jay-Z has a saying, real recognize real. And to me, half of these guys are just fake, right? So we have a situation where people don't want to work with people because they're protecting their turf, right? And it's so sad, like really so sad. But then it also goes, it's down pretty much down to the fact that we are chasing grants, right? As opposed to real funding. So you might have a project that you don't have the skill set to execute that project, but you know that A does, right? But because you don't want A to shine, you would take that project and execute it badly. Like, really. But you've got the money.
And give everybody a
bad name, right? So because we're chasing grants, we can't work together because, again, it opens the market. The money's not there, so you need to kind of shrink it. So instead of finding ways to bake a cake, we're killing each other over crumbs. Right? And that is what is happening right now. So partnerships won't work. Plus, the ideologies in the hubs are entirely different. When you look at, I hope I can mention my company's name, right? Okay. So when you look at something like iSpace, right? The mentality is entrepreneurship is for everybody. You don't have to be a college degree and all of that because it's a mental thing.
If you have the idea, you can make it happen.
You can make it happen. So we open our space to people that don't even have any skill sets whatsoever. We put resources down for them to be able to kind of acquire those skills. It takes time to do all of those other stuff. Then you got other hubs. They're just, you know, quote unquote working spaces, the co-working spaces. So they're just a space people just come in. But the people don't care about the truth anymore. So then they will come and say, oh, why isn't it your entrepreneur like that entrepreneur? What you have to understand is I'm building that entrepreneur. Right. That entrepreneur just walked into the space because, lack of a better word, they feel like because it's got white people there, so they can go there and get a better connection,
right?
That is the whole thing. See, so again, that hub never built that entrepreneur. This hub is building the entrepreneurs, right? But you're not giving them the time and credit for that because you have a personal issue with the CEO or the CTO of the business, right? Now, I was in a meeting in London, right? And then some guy asked me, oh, what do I think about MEST? And I said, I hate MEST, right? And the guy was looking at me like...
That was shocking.
Shock him, right?
And that was shocking.
So I said, no. I think you got it all wrong. I don't hate MEST. That's a bad thing. I love what it stands for, right? Putting students, bringing them together, training them, 2 years feeding them, doing all of that, and then hopefully they pitch, they get money, and you know, they build their business, they can grow, right? I hate them because I don't have the money to do that.
Okay,
you see what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm doing exactly what they're doing, but I don't have their money to do that. So I'm driven to get that money. So the hate that I have for them is the passion that I have to drive to get the money to solve the problem that people have. But then when I said that, the person was thinking, they thought I was going to be kumbaya about it, right? But I have my reason. Because if you don't, so people that motivate you, there's a reason why they motivate you, right? And we need more people in the, our ecosystem
to push you,
to solve an issue. We are not here to breed entrepreneurs that want to be people from Silicon Valley. Because again, when I look around, when it rains and Accra is flooded, right? Oh, then you tune into City FM. City FM is telling you, dodge left, dodge right, don't go do all of that kind of stuff. City FM's job is not to do that,
right?
But now you're forced to do that. Why? Because entrepreneurs like us are not creating solutions for that, right? Now, this same solutions, and also blame, sometimes I blame the users. Mm. If somebody created an app like that, would you pay for it? Mm. Right? So because you won't pay for it, that then tells the social entrepreneur that what's the point in doing this in the first place, right? So if we're not ready to pay for things, this is what you get. You get people that would develop things that has no relevance whatsoever, right? How is it?
Because they need to eat.
It's as basic as that.
They need to find a way to feed themselves,
yep,
and stay in business.
Yeah.
And if they don't have the funding to do that, if they don't have people paying for the services that they provide,
they'll find other means.
They will have to find other means.
Yeah.
Funding.
Yeah.
Funding.
Mm.
Funding and the pace of growth,
yeah,
of the tech ecosystem in Ghana. People often talk about how it's not just the money all the time, but, well, a lot of the time I tend to disagree, because right, if you don't have the money, really, I'm not sure what,
mm-hmm,
how the lights will be kept on and things like that, especially with the hub ideology that you work with. Without the funding, it's just not going to be possible. Right. How is that affecting the pace of growth in terms of the tech ecosystem in Ghana? And what can we do differently about that?
It's killing it. Funding it, the lack of funding is killing it, mm, right? And again, I know some people are getting funding, but they don't want anybody to know where they're getting their funding from,
mm,
right? Mm. So that, put that aside. I don't know why, but put that aside, right? We'll come back to that.
Let's take it off the shelf, right, and just touch on it briefly. Right. So wait, they know where the money is.
Yeah.
But won't let the rest of the team or anybody else know about it, because they want to be the only ones enjoying
it. Yes, that's basically it. The selfish entrepreneur, coined a new word for you. basically, that's what they do. They know the right people.
Mm.
You know, you in a conversation with investors that are saying, oh, I'm looking for somebody that's doing A, B, C, and D. You know people in the ecosystem that are doing these things, but you will never. And usually they will tell, oh, Ghanaian entrepreneurs, they're not ready. What you mean?
Mm.
What you mean they're not ready? Right, you've got countries where people are investing millions and billions in ideas,
mm,
and you're saying somebody that's got passion, because that's what you need, right? Passion, because when, like you said, when the lights are off, passion is what you need to keep going. It's not the money, it's passion, the hope that you have that, you know what, I'm still going to try and code, find a way to code. You got people that will charge their laptops at work, knowing that when they get home, there's no light, so they have to finish the work that they need to do. Those are the kind of entrepreneurs that we need to find money, right, to fund. But here, though, the problem is this: the money's there, it's just in the wrong places. For example, so the government, they've got 10 million or something of that nature, right, for entrepreneurs, right? Great, I love that, that's great. What I would say is, don't give the money to the people. Don't. What you need to do is partner with the bank or banks, and then say, okay, give me, I'm giving you, all of you, one million money each, right? Invest the money. Now, then you work with hubs. Then, and hub will tell you, okay, every year, this is my overheads, blah, blah, blah. So the government will figure a way, we pay for it. Great, we're good. Now, these entrepreneurs would then go to the banks with a nice business plan and everything else and go get startup loans, right? Right. Here is the beautiful part. That will force government to make sure the infrastructure
is in place
because the government is vested in the success of that particular startup, right? See, so if you know that you've invested money into a startup and electricity is the problem, sure, you make it work, right? If you know water is the problem, you will make it work. All of these data, you'll be talking to the telcos to reduce data charges so that these people work. But because you have not invested in the startup, so to speak, you're not going to invest in infrastructure to make sure that the startup is successful. And then that then forces a situation where we then end up picking winners, right? See, so I know somebody that can introduce me to somebody. So that's the only way I'm going to get the money. So that's what we have right now. So like I said, the money is there. We just don't, or we're not moving it in the right direction. That's all it is. So let's not be fooled that we don't have money. We do have money. We have people in this country that have got money, right? I mean, you see the musicians, right? Jay-Z just got into the whole tech investment thing. Why can't we talk to the like of Shatter and all of those other people to invest in tech, right? But then if you go and stand in front of him and you want to pitch some idea that he has no knowledge of, you're not going to, he's not going to invest, right? But maybe if we invested in a music streaming app that can download his music, he will invest.
He will actually see the benefit
of it. That's what it is. So as a tech entrepreneur, you need to go to an investor with something that they see the benefit in it for them to invest in.
Josiah Aysen is my guest on the show on City Trends tonight. I don't know how more real it's going to get, but this is as real as it gets, talking about the realities of being a tech entrepreneur in Ghana. As we wrap up, because we have to get into the app segment of the show, I guess my next question is, you have been operating iSpace for as long as I know.
Right.
And iSpace has been contributing immensely to the development of the ecosystem here in Ghana. What is 2018 and the next 5 years looking like for iSpace?
Tough. 2018 is going to be tough because... And, you know, going forward, because again, I have all of these entrepreneurs now that they've got their MVPs, they've got the passion, they've got the ideas, but then we're hitting a block because of funding, right? See, so some of them are giving up because they need to go back to work and they need to find food and they just lost hope.
And live.
And live, right? See, so I'm here, I coined this term trying to be like Moses, trying to drag these people that let's go on, right? And so my next thing is, for me, I need to learn how this whole investment VC thing works, right, so that I can figure a way where, you know, start my own fund where I can, you know, invest in these startups myself. Right. So yes, it's tough, but that's what I love, right? And we don't love soft challenges. We love the tough ones because out of that, that's how you get stronger and then you learn more. So for me, I just want to be able to invest in other hubs, which we are already doing with some of the programs that we run. So especially with the Women Tech Entrepreneur Program, we are working with a lot of hubs across Ghana anyway. So we are taking the little money that we already have and then give it to the hubs for them to then train other people in their regions. Because again, we believe that the opportunity has to be spread across, right? It can't just be limited to Accra alone. So for me, it's just trying to work with as many hubs as possible and trying to encourage as many entrepreneurs that we can, and hopefully just beat the drum. The Ghanaian and tech entrepreneurs are doing great things and people just need to invest in them. So from 2018, yes, people gonna hear a lot about me, or should I say from me, in regards to raising funds for these local guys, because these local guys, Philip, they working hard, right? They are solving issues, but they just need funding to take them from one level to the other. And let's encourage the citizens also to kind of, you know, be supportive of what it is that they're doing. Pay for these things, right? Pay for them. And that's the only way we can support them. We need to move away from all these B2Gs and B2Bs. We need to look at B2C because that's where the money is, so that we don't start chasing investors. Let the investors come to us after they've seen that we've got, you know, 1,000 customers and all of those other stuff, right? That's what we need to do.
Francis Adai says, you are spitting fire this evening, and he is loving it. Hi, I'm Enoch, and I'm so grateful for your show. I have a write-up down that I'm working on, and I'm looking around for partnership to actualize it. I believe you have an idea that you want to actualize. I'm a marketing person and need a tech person to help me out. Can this man help out? I'm sure that he can. So you can pop into iSpace any day in Laboni and then have a conversation with them. Thanks for this discussion. I have an idea I've been trying to work around for a while now, but too broke. Don't know who to contact about developing this into something. Tonight's topic is very important. This Sela from Oyara. So Sela, like we said, just pop into Laboni, pop into iSpace, have a conversation with the guys there, and you are sorted. Who is this guy? He's great. Too cool. Yes, indeed. That is why he's on the show. You didn't add your name, but we are grateful for tuning in and being a part of the show. So finally, Josiah, before you take leave of us, your final words.
Don't lose hope in the tech ecosystem. Just like anything else in its inception, you're always going to have one or two things that just don't go the way we want it to go. And let's all find a way to work together, irrespective of the personalities in it. We don't have to always agree to get something done. The most important thing is the red, gold, green, and the black star. That's it. I don't care, you know, where you're from, what you believe in. The most important thing is putting Ghana Tech first, right? Because that's the only way we're going to win, because all other startups across Africa, they represent their nations, and we need to do exactly the same thing. So just because we don't agree doesn't mean we can't get things done.
Mic drop. Peace to y'all. my guest in the studio, Josiah Aison, co-founder and business development manager over at iSpace Foundation. And I don't know how real it can get for you, but that is just as real as it gets. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're jumping straight into the app segment of the show. And now getting to the app segment of the show with Jeffrey Oreku Sapong. Jeff, what's up?
Hi.
Yeah, you're blown away.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me sum up everything he said.
Okay.
With the name of my first app.
Okay.
Shush.
And get working. Shush. Okay, so our first app is what? Shush.
Shush.
Spell.
Shush.
Spell S-H-U-S-H.
Yes.
Shush. What does it do?
Okay. So you see that thing where you are going into a meeting, you have to put your phone on silent.
Yes.
Now you come out and then you forget.
Right. You this miss app, calls, you miss text messages.
Thank you.
Right.
This app is supposed to fix that for you.
How exactly does it do?
So when you put it on, when you install it, and then you have to put your phone on silent. As soon as you do it, it pops up and asks you how long you want the phone to be on silent. So if you want it to be on silent for 2 hours, after 2 hours, your ringtone will come back on straight up for you.
Hmm.
Simple.
That is very cool.
Yep.
So you don't, I mean, you can set the time period within which you'll be in the meeting.
Exactly.
And once you pop out, everything returns to normal.
If your meeting is for 2 hours, just tell the app, I'll be in there for 2 hours. After 2 hours, bring it back on.
Shush. S-H-U-S-H.
Yeah.
That is the first mobile application. Very, very, very cool. So what is our second mobile app for this week?
Okay, so this one is a local one.
Okay.
It's called My Audio. Now, the spelling of audio is not A-U.
D-I-O.
No. It's O-R. D-I-O.
Okay.
Just listen to the guy.
Okay.
I don't like the look on your face.
Okay.
Just listen.
Let's listen to the developer of my audio.
My name is Dominic McCaffrey Kepomer. I am the CEO of My Audio app. My Audio is spelled MYORDIO. It's on Android currently. So My Audio is a music-oriented crowdfunding platform that allows mainstream and upcoming Ghanaian artists to manage all their content in one place. We help artists connect to their fans and promote their music to enthusiasts and other stakeholders in the music industry. My Audio offers a crowdfunding platform designed to help artists raise funds from their fans to sponsor their various music and social good projects. We offer exclusive content from artists, which users subscribe to. It also has a shop makes available exclusive merchandise for sale too.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting, especially for people who, artists and people are looking at raising funds for any particular project that they're looking at. Very nice. Very, very nice.
Impressed yet?
Well, I think that it's a very, very good idea, especially for artists who are looking for other avenues of raising funds for probably a concert, or they have a CSR project that they're working on. It sounds like a very, very good project.
Yep.
And what I like about it is that it's local. It's a local application.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. So Shush.
Thank you.
And My Audio.
Yep.
My Audio is spelled O-R-D-I-O instead of A-U-D-I-O.
Yes.
So O-R-D-I-O. So guys, do check it out. Let me know what you think about it. Let me know your experiences with the mobile application. And then we will wrap it up.
Shush.
Of course. Farida Shaibu joins us right about now with the trending segment of the show. Now, one of the biggest stories, of course, for this week is the fact that Pharmaline, a tech focused or yeah, a tech company in Ghana, has been recognized as the second most innovative. Like, that is one of the biggest stories that anybody should ever talk about. But we'll discuss that one and many others on the show. Farida Shaibu joins us in the studio with the trending segment of the show. And I can see Snapchat is very big.
Are you still on?
Who?
Snap.
I never even started the journey of Snap because I never understood.
You can see people's stories. You can see what people are doing.
I don't get it.
Get
I will
videos,
never get
pictures,
it.
And
I
everything.
I am not ever even
Instead
interested.
Of reading text on Twitter and then Facebook.
Please, please, please.
And
wait,
Instagram.
Wait. I am not interested in this whole lifestyle of Snap.
Well,
take
there's been
out.
An update and it looks like people are not so happy about the
of
update.
Course.
Take your time.
If I am not on the platform, how can anyone be happy?
Did we understand it from the beginning in the first place?
But the CEO is actually saying that, well, don't mind them. They'll get used to it with time. You know, give them some time. Of course, as they always say with updates, you know, they don't expect you to grab it or to accept it. So the Snap CEO is actually saying that he has defended the redesign. And basically what people initially, he was saying that they wanted to separate people from, let's say, ordinary people from the support stars.
Right.
So now the stars are supposed to be on the right, and then ordinary people like your friends near your list are supposed to be on the left. And I just noticed that today too. And Mina was just telling me that, well, it's not so interesting, you know.
Of course it was.
When you're trying to separate.
Initially, Snapchat was never interesting. Now they are segregating and putting stars on one side.
So, but they were actually supposed to do it to curb fake news. You know, when everything is jammed up like that, you know, everybody is everywhere. And sometimes people will be tweeting under your name, probably Philippa Shaw, and knowing that you're a star, and you know, somebody would just, you know, come up and just write anything. So that was what they were trying to do. But now they are saying that you can, so it's going to be on the right, and then ordinary people will be on the left. But there are thousands of people who have opposed to this, and 1 million petitions were actually signed, including, yes, all these American stars, and then saying that they don't really want this. But just this evening when I got on, I think I realized that...
You're still on. Okay, you finish.
Partially.
You finish. Have they
Sometimes
made further
I use
changes?
It for pictures.
Have they made further changes?
There's not been any change. But, you know, the CEO is still standing by his word and design, seeing that you get used to it. But there's been a sort of like mix up. I think they are trying to mix up the supposed stars and then all those ordinary
they
people.
So
you can
WhatsApp
see it
up.
They
when
just trying
WhatsApp
to
made the changes to their updates or whatever, and we cried foul. They gave back our written updates. Nice. Nobody complained. Anyway, I never liked the application
I think we're time
whatever
do
they
it.
Do,
they'll
I
do.
Okay, so Phil. Here's how you become someone's close friend on the app, apparently. When I snap at you for 4 times, I become your close friend.
That's the only qualification.
Yeah.
Close friend.
Yes.
You know, I don't...
Well, Evan is saying that people are complaining about the app.
If I didn't like it then, I don't like it now. Okay.
Yeah, so he said that the fact that the people are complaining shows that, well, people actually listen to what they're trying to do, and with time, they would get used to it. So the second one is about Huawei. I like this phone or this brand, but right. I don't know. And the U.S. market is not really allowing them. They are saying, yes, based on some security issue. Why?
So spying.
Why?
Why are you
Why?
Spying?
Why?
You are spying on the people. Well, when you say that you allow Apple into your space...
Of course, what I don't get is even China, they're still not using Facebook. Why? They want to protect themselves, but they don't want people to protect themselves against them.
I mean,
it's
those are the arguments about protectionism all of that. But I mean, those are, you know, separate conversations for another day.
So earlier this week, top members of intelligence agencies like the FBI, CIA, and NSA reaffirmed surveillance concerns about the company and fellow Chinese smartphone maker ZTE. And this is not the first time, actually. In 2012, a House Intelligence Committee cited both handset brands as potential security risks over close ties to the Chinese government. So obviously, it's just basically got to do with security. Mm-hmm. And they feel, of course, like you said, spies and everything that is going around. US don't, they don't want any of that. When it comes to the Chinese, I think for now everybody seems to be scared of them. What happened to the AU building?
Well, I mean, I don't see where I understand where the fear is coming from, and I understand in terms of global geopolitics and all of that and how it plays into this whole China trying to become a world superpower, Russia, US, all those relations. I can appreciate that. All I want is a functioning phone I can call my mother on, call my wife on, and I'm good. But obviously there are other things that go beyond just the phone, the physical element of the phone that you have. And I believe that there are certain concerns that need to be looked at by the powers that be and the various corporations and countries that come together to actually make all of this possible. And I think that it's a conversation that we should consider seriously, because it has serious implications for a lot of us as well. A lot of people go around and buy a device without really thinking thoroughly about some of the things that come together to make the device, without thinking about the things under the hood of the device.
What do we care?
Exactly. You know, we don't care. We just want to text someone and allow it to go
and
through.
Do we even go the extra mile?
Message and allow it to go through.
We feel like it's not necessary.
There are so many things that we don't consider, and it's very, very important that we shift our minds to consider some of these things as well.
Well, Huawei responded, and they're saying that they're a trusted brand by government, and they have customers in 170 countries worldwide, and they pose no greater cybersecurity risk than any ICT vendor.
That's all. That's all. Be upset. Be upset. Inside your pocket. Anyway, even as we wrap up, the world's most innovative companies 2018. Now, listen, this is the world's most innovative companies 2018, and it reads by sector. Yeah, pay close attention. The world's most innovative companies 2018, and it reads by sector. This is coming from Fast Company. If you know what Fast Company is, you'll appreciate where this is coming from. In Africa, number one is M Pharma. Number two is Pharmaline. Pharmaline was on this show last week celebrating 5 years. Pharmaline is actually the second most innovative company in the world.
Yes.
In the world for 2018. That is a big deal. M Pharma is number one. Pharmaline is number two. So when Josiah says that we have potential and we are hungry for success, that should kind of tell you something is going on. M Pharma is actually also from Ghana. So just think about it. Balance it in your mind right now. Two companies, two tech companies from Ghana are the most innovative in the world, according to Fast Company. That is a big deal. So even as you process all of that, let's get one more message that came through on our WhatsApp number before we take leave of you. Kindly ask your guest that how do I stay relevant in a partnership when I have zilch knowledge in tech but only come in with bright ideas? Shouldn't a tech entrepreneur have some basic technical knowledge in the industry in order to stay relevant?
And I can tell you categorically, no, you don't. You just have to be able to be innovative. You're coming up with bright ideas, so partnering with somebody that can or does have that technical knowledge to do what it is that they need to do. And that's a problem with Ghana. You can't do everything, right? If you're coming up with ideas, your partner is the technical person. So as long as your partner is the one learning and growing technically, you have to learn and grow with bright ideas. Simple.
And it's that simple. And with that, we draw the curtains down on today's show. I do hope that you've picked up one lesson or the other. You've learned a thing or two, whether it is the apps that we brought to you or the trending segments and the news having to do with that, or everything else that Josiah talked about today about the realities of being a technology entrepreneur in Ghana. I do hope you enjoy the show. Thank you so much to all of you who sent through your messages. It's been such a pleasure having you listening in and contributing. Thank you so much for doing so. The podcast is out tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned in. Sedinam Edmond sends a message and says, thanks for giving me hope with your interview on City Trends. Sorry, hashtag City Trends with Kofi Ashon will pass through iSpace soonest. And that's a message to you, Josiah, even as we wrap up. So yes, indeed, it has been a great show. Totally, totally love today's show. Like we said, real talk on this show, that's what it's all about. Podcast is out tomorrow. Make sure you check out ctfmonline.com for the podcast or my blog, kofimusings.com. Till next week, stay techie.